Let's just bow our heads at this time for prayer. Our Father, this morning we thank you for this service that we've already had and enjoyed. And we thank you today, Heavenly Father, for your presence that is so obvious today in our midst. We know this morning, dear Lord, that many people come to the service with something weighing upon their hearts. We know that there are needs, there are burdens, there are cares that no one knows about except the Lord and the one that is dealing with that particular burden. So, Father, I pray today that, Lord, you would just reach down from heaven and just touch and work in a way that only you can. We thank you for the precious Word of God, and we thank you that the Holy Spirit is called the Divine Comforter. And we know that He certainly does comfort your people. And so, Father, today I just pray the Holy Spirit, the Divine Comforter, would just comfort hearts and just work today. And then, Lord, as we now get into this part of the service to where we open the Bible and begin to preach, Lord, we stand today in a place where no man stands alone. So we need your help, Lord. Just pray today the message will be a blessing. And if there's someone here that doesn't know the dear Savior, may today be the day of their salvation. But Father, you work in a way that only you can, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 142, please. Psalm 142. I want to begin reading at verse number 1 in Psalm 142. I want to preach today on the subject, who cares? Who cares? That's my thought. That's my topic. Psalm 142 and verse number 1. David said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand, and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. David said, no man cared for my soul. And the thought that crossed my mind as I was looking at this passage of Scripture was simply the thought, who cares? Who cares? It's certainly obvious to all of us today that have any understanding of God's Word and the grace of God, we automatically know the answer to that question, who cares? We know that God cares. Let me begin by just laying out just a few thoughts today, somewhat of an introduction, let's say, to the message, as we get into what I want to preach on this morning. David was fleeing from Saul. He cries out from a cave where he sought shelter. Later, David would be joined by 400 men who would support him. And the one who said, no man cared for my soul, certainly knew that God cared for his soul. And he would find that there would be friends that would support him, encourage him, help him. The 400 men would come to his rescue. In his anguish, he cries out, who cares? Who cares? Though David had saved Saul's life, Saul still sought to kill him. He writes this psalm against this stormy background. Do you ever wonder who cares? I think we all do from time to time. This world is filled with people with lonely souls. Untold millions of people today are gripped by the claws of religious deception. I think of the Hindu religion with its millions of gods and the fact that prayers are lifted up for elephants, for snakes, and for creatures upon this earth. Great cities of our country are filled with wall-to-wall people, yet lonely people. The tragedy is that multitudes do live without God and die without God. And many people will never hear for the first time, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but of everlasting life. Yet understand that a caring God once said to Adam, Adam, where art thou? Where art thou? Multitudes are raised in atheistic countries and have been brought up under Marx and Lenin and have been taught that religion is an opiate and there is no God. And oh, how pitiful, how tragic that is. Against this horrendous backdrop of human loneliness and despair, there's a universal cry of desperation echoing out from the soul of mankind for help. The world system is set up to abuse us rather than to assist us. Advertisers want our money. Politicians want our votes. Merchants want our business. But who cares for our soul? Sin has disabled people to really care about the things that are really important. Sin has blinded people. Sin has clouded the understanding. Many people do not rightly understand what they need the most because they're in the grips of sin. The drug peddlers don't care about the welfare of lives. The abortionists don't care about the welfare of the unborn. The sex traffickers don't care about the welfare of children. And radical politicians don't care about the welfare of our country. False religion offers no security for the soul, for it bypasses the only hope of the soul. Our society allows for the existence of all of the various denominations and religions today, and freedom of religion is a precious jewel that we enjoy because the freedom of one religion gives the opportunity of a freedom of another religion. So because of a freedom, the freedom of religion clause, I can stand here today and preach to you the gospel of Jesus Christ. But yet freedom and freedom of religion is granted under our Constitution. And so thank God today for that. Basically though, let's look at something. Freedom of religion, that's good. But my friend, the freedom of a soul set free is better. Biblically, we understand that salvation is only through the blood of Jesus Christ. While religions today are saying, my hope is built upon the church, my hope is built upon baptism, my hope is built upon law keeping, my hope is built upon self-effort, the people of the book say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Come back to the question, who really cares? Who cares? Who cares? I'm glad we know the answer to that question, but many do not care. Many do not know who cares. The one who cares for the soul cares. The one who created man for himself and with a real purpose in life cares. The one who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, he cares. The Trinity of God cares. Every member of the Trinity cares. God the Father cares. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God the Son cares. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. God the Holy Spirit cares. When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. God the Holy Spirit cares. How do we know he cares? He convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. The care of the Spirit of God is seen in a church service such as we have today. The care of the Spirit of God is seen in the fact that the Spirit of God takes the Bible and convicts sinners of the need of Christ. The care of the Holy Spirit of God is seen when we sit in a church service and our hearts can be blessed. And we can be stirred and thrilled by the truth of God's Word. Yes, the Trinity cares. And the Spirit of God cares. The care of God for man's soul is written on every page of the Bible. For the central person of the Bible is Jesus Christ. And the central theme of the Bible is redemption. Rather than let Adam die in his sin, God intervened in loving care and in redeeming grace and has been doing so ever since then to the present. He cares is obvious. He cares is seen in every sacrifice, in every type in the Old Testament. He cares is seen at Calvary. He cares is seen at the empty tomb. He cares is seen today when God blesses and encourages and helps. He cares. The care of God is witnessed at the cradle. The care of God is witnessed at the cross. The care of God is witnessed at the tomb. The care of God was seen when God became flesh and wrapped himself in humanity at the tomb. The care of God was seen when Jesus was stretched out between heaven and earth and our sins were placed upon him. And he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But then he cries out, it's finished. The care of God was seen at the tomb. The care of God was seen at the cradle. The care of God was seen at the cross. The care of God is seen at the tomb, as I said. When Jesus came up from the dead, when hell was conquered, when the grave was conquered, when Jesus arose, the care of God was seen. Because a full provision was made for man's sins. And today, thank God, because of the cross work of Christ, we can be saved and have God's grace permeating our souls. God cares. God cares. The care of God for man, man's soul, is wonderfully displayed in gospel preaching churches. As the men of God are trumpeting forth the gospel message of the finished work of Jesus Christ, who cares? God cares. The heavenly host cares. We know that also to be true. The heavenly host cares. Whenever a sinner repents, there's joy and glory. I believe the angels rejoice. I believe the saints of God in heaven rejoice. Yes, who cares? The Trinity cares. And I believe the angels of God care when a sinner gets saved. It's very obvious, though, the devil doesn't care. The devil does not care. The devil today, if he had his desire, would pull every soul of Adam's race into hell. He seeks to devour men's soul. The devil is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. The devil doesn't care. He doesn't care. He plants seeds of doubt. He encourages sinners to procrastinate a decision for Christ. He even right now while I'm preaching this message is visiting up and down these pews. He's telling some sinner today to not get serious. He's telling someone today to not take serious the message of the Word of God. He's planting the seeds of doubt. He's telling you today that all this is just a religious message. He's doing all that he can. But here's something that is rather sobering. I believe one of the most tormenting aspects of hell will be an active memory where people will recall and remember when they were upon this earth and failed to accept Christ. The man who died and went to hell, his memory was active. He thought of Lazarus. I believe there's a man in hell by the name of Agrippa. And I believe one of the most tormenting aspects of Agrippa's hell will be remembering the time he stood in the presence of the great preacher and he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And throughout eternity those words will echo in his mind and his heart. Almost, almost. Almost, almost. Would to God today, if you're in the almost category, you'd step across the bounds by faith. Would to God today, you'd place your trust in Christ's finished work and go out of this building today washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Rather than have your torment, your mind to torment you throughout eternity, I was at Smith Grove Baptist Church and heard the message preached and rejected God one too many times. But who cares? Who cares? Many Christians don't seem to care, for they're unburdened for the souls of men. They never pray for sinners. They make no effort to win sinners to Jesus Christ. I know it's impossible not to care, but some people act like they don't. Who cares? Well, God cares. Who cares? The Trinity cares. Who cares? The angels care. Who care? Who cares? Those that preach and live and love the truth care. Let me give you a testimony, if I could. November is my spiritual birthday month. This coming November, I'll celebrate my 50th birthday as a child of God. I was once a stranger to grace and a candidate for hell. And I traveled life's road aimlessly and recklessly. I sought to drown my insecurities with a sedative of strong drink and to squelch my loneliness with the folly of earthly pleasure. I found no rest for my weary soul because of the Christless routine of my life. Sin had driven me to despair and even to the brink of disaster. But strangely enough, in my darkest hour, in the time of my worst spiritual bankruptcy, I sensed my need for God and became aware of His pursuing love. In a time of deep dejection, Jesus journeyed by, saw my heart was dull and empty, gently asked me why. Then when I had told the story lovingly, He came, filled Himself the vacant chambers, blessed be His name. Now no more my heart is empty, never more will be filled with Jesus, Jesus only, for eternity. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. This poor man heard a faithful preacher preach a gospel message of the saving grace of God. This poor man heard a brutal but honest message concerning my condemnation and the fact of hell. This poor man heard a message of loving God who made provision for my sins. This poor man was assisted by the Holy Spirit's conviction and left the seat of condemnation for an altar of grace. This poor man became a rich man in a split second. Doubts and fears, thank God, took wings and flew away. For this poor man now becomes a rich man and a candidate for glory. He could say in the great words of that hymn, as I look back and remember when God saved me, I think of the words of that great hymn, "Then at last by faith I touched Him, and like sparks of smitten steel, just so quick salvation reached me. Oh, bless God, I know it's real." Oh, that's what happens when the truth kicks in. That's what happens when salvation from God comes in. That's what happens when you dump religion and you get righteousness in God's sight. That's what happens when you come to Christ. I found out that night that God cared. My pilgrimage and route to glory began on that night when heaven came down and the glory of salvation filled my soul. A sinner was saved. A new name was added in the Lamb's Book of Life. And heaven took part in the celebration. And then I think of Genesis, where God created. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God began to go through the acts of creation. And then in a sense, God would step back. In my mind, I kind of see this. And God would look at creation. And God would say, "Behold, it's good." I believe the night that God saved me, I believe that new creation in Christ Jesus because of God's grace, I believe God stepped back and looked down from heaven and said, "Behold, it's good." I'll tell you, my friend, it's wonderful that God can create this earth. It's wonderful that God can strew the universe in existence. It's wonderful that God can do all that He did with His great and mighty hands. But the greatest act of God's creative power is when God reaches down in saving grace and saves an old sinner and puts their feet on a solid rock and says, "Behold, it's good." There's nothing any better. Nothing any better. The blood of the Lamb was again certified the night that I got saved in washing another sinner's sins away. The convicting power of the Spirit of God was made clear to me the adequacy of Christ's finished work. That glorious night when heaven came down and the glory of salvation filled my soul, I could echo in the words of old John Bunyan's allegory on Pilgrim's Progress, I too looked up at the cross and felt the burden of sin roll off my back and roll down the hill and drop into the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's what happens. Oh, God cares. He does. God cares. This cold, destitute sinner experienced for the first time the warm, comforting garment of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. My parched lips had tasted the cool, refreshing water of life. And my hungry soul was satisfied with the bread of life. I was plucked from a horrible pit and placed on a solid rock. I'm glad, so glad, that God saw fit to save my soul. My sorrowing heart was made to sing the song of redemption. And this old pilgrim went on his way, which will one day lead to glory. I found that God cares for my soul. Who cares, I ask you today, in the state of your soul? You know God does. God cares today in the state of your soul. But here's my question. Do you care? Do you care enough to do something about it? God cares for your soul. Jesus died that you could be saved. But do you care? God cares, but do you care? Who cares about your hurt and your pain? God cares. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song, as a burden's press and the care's distress, and the way grows weary and long? Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know that my Savior cares. Understand something, however. Understand this. The care of God has to be matched with your care before you can be helped. The care of God has to be matched with your care before you can be helped. God will save you today, but you've got to be willing to accept Him. God will comfort your heart today, but you've got to be willing to accept that comfort. God will do something today in your life, but you've got to be willing today to respond and do what God would have you to do. That's why invitations are important. Understand today, God cares, but do you? If you're here unsaved, you care enough today to leave that seat and come and let someone take God's word and show you how you can be saved, and you can go out here today and God would have stood back and looked at you and said, "Behold, it was good. You can be saved." Christian, do you care enough today that God cares for you and wants to help you through what you're going through? Do you believe today, if you were to come forward at this altar and say, "Lord, help me. I'm tired of fighting it alone. I'm tired of trying on my own to make it work out. I've got to put it in your hands. I've got to let you." God cares, but do you care enough to trust Him? Let's bow for prayer. Father,